Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Okay, another day of radio greatness is about to ensue.
No pressure.
No. It will at least be radio...
Very goodness.
Very, yeah, solidness.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see how it works.
Actually,
out.
I think I'm proving myself wrong right now. I'm Allie, that's Jarrett, and we have quite a show for you planned today. Of course, it's just the Tip Tuesday. We always like to share tips, tricks, life hacks, things to help you through your daily life. And today we will be sharing life hacks when it comes to hotel stays. There was quite a Twitter storm going on as far as what people use as little hacks and tips and tricks when they stay in hotel rooms. And I have a friend who is in the hotel industry, too, who has given me some insider information that I am willing to share.
Ooh, insider.
Insider, very insider. I will be sharing my coming out story today. We're doing this all week long in preparation for National Coming Out Day on Friday and the one-year anniversary of Channel Q. So that is very exciting. Dr. Jen Mann will be joining us later in the show. We're talking about when you are dating someone who has depression. So that's
really
going to be an interesting conversation.
Really important conversation, especially as more and more people are really focusing on their mental health. I find the conversation that we're going to have with her about what you should know about dating someone with depression, I think it's really, really important.
Yeah, definitely. I know a lot of people deal with it, and a lot of people don't even know that they're dealing with it sometimes.
Absolutely.
And then you have been active on Tinder as of last night. There's some new game that you are interested in, which I get jealous of because I want to play games and I can't play Tinder games. So please update me as a married, boring lady.
We are actually going to be we're working on having someone on from Tinder to talk about the new game called Swipe Night, which is a game that is like a choose your own adventure story or whatever. And like based on the decisions that you make, it helps you to match with other people and says like, oh, well, you know, you're in the middle of the street and there's a car coming. Do you save the puppy or do you save the person and you go this direction or that direction? I said the person.
Yeah, but you hate animals.
I do not hate animals. That's not true. That is not true.
That makes you very upset, doesn't it?
Well, because then people think that that's true. So it's like, that is not true. But something more interesting happened. Before I say that, do lesbians watch adult programming on the internet?
Oh, I think so.
Because it's 10 o'clock in the morning here. I want to be easy with what I'm saying. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, but like...
I will always have a conversation about this.
Well, yeah.
I have no problem watching it, and I watch it, but I watch exclusively gay guy porn.
You watch gay guys?
Yes.
What?
I know. It's a very insane...
That's
but
so
I'm not alone. A lot of lesbian women watch only gay guy porn.
Are you serious?
Yeah, we can get into it later about why that is.
I've never heard this before.
Oh, there are articles about it. It's interesting.
What?
Yeah, because lesbian porn is so unrealistic most of
yeah,
the time.
Fair enough.
And I want to watch gay porn, but I don't want to watch two women because it's made for men.
Okay, well, anyhow, I was on the Tinder and I saw this guy. I was like, oh, he's very handsome. And so like I swiped right. And then a friend of mine was like, let me see your Tinder. Let me see your Tinder. And then like right before that, the guy that I'm talking about had swiped right. And so we matched. And he was like, do you know who that is? And I was like, no. And then I looked again and because it's not his full name. It's just like a first initial. And then like the light bulb went on. I was like, oh my God, that's someone from videos that I've seen a thousand times.
He's a porn star?
Yes.
Nice.
And I was like, oh my God. Like, because I felt stupid for not recognizing him immediately because I think he's... I was like, well, because
I... Do you know who I am? Hold on, let me unbutton my pants.
Well, he's not just like any old person. Like, I've seen...
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of his work. I'll put it that way. And so
was there some kind of, so you knew him just by his face or was there like a tattoo?
No,
or
well, so that's
something?
The thing. He doesn't have like any distinctive tattoos. And like, I don't know, like when you see people in adult programming, you see them in a different way than you normally would see them on a dating profile.
Yeah, different angles for
so,
sure.
So like then I was like, I connected the initial and the photo and the body. And I was like, oh my God, that is him. And
so what did you do? Because that can be intimidating.
Well, I'm like, I don't know how I feel. Like, I mean, he's a person, you know what I mean? Like, he's out here dating and stuff like that,
yes,
too.
Yes, he is.
And yes, he is. And so I was just like, this morning, I got like a message back from him or something. And I was like, oh, I have to figure out what I've seen, I don't know, like,
did
I'm like, I don't know what to say.
Did he send a D-pic?
Huh?
Did he send D-pic right away?
No, I mean, God knows we've all seen it, but like, it was just
like, I shouldn't need to send you this,
I mean, you know what I mean? No.
This is my headshot.
I just don't, I'm like, just be normal, just be normal, just like have a conversation. But it was like very surprising. And it's another one of those moments, there are some things that just feel so uniquely LA or maybe New York, but like, I'm on Tinder with like a celebrity person that I know. Like, I've seen like, you know, people that you know from different stuff on Tinder.
And then is that the way you introduce him to family when it gets to that point?
How did you meet? Well, I met him a long time ago, but he just met me last week.
I've seen him around.
Exactly.
He's actually been in my room many, many times.
Many, many times before we ever met.
And so is the conversation very normal?
We've exchanged like one message and like, I'm like, I don't know how I feel about it. And then I'm like, I thought I was more progressive than this. Maybe I have a problem with him working in porn. Maybe I don't have a problem with him working in porn. Maybe I think people are going to, you know what I mean? Like, I'm asking myself all these questions.
Well, what if, I mean, at least you swiped right.
Yeah.
What would happen if you had swiped left and then realized that you missed the opportunity to match with a porn star?
I mean, he is not ugly.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
Well, I think that you should pursue this hard.
Of course you do.
Yes. Because
okay,
I
first of all, the way you said that, Justin would have hit the dumb button.
Okay, because then you can make a video and I can watch it.
And he goes, I'm not Justin.
No, never mind.
Oh, I'm like, you know, I'm going to run for president one day. So like, I can't.
You can't make a sex tape.
I can't make a sex tape. But I was just really jarred. Like, oh my God. Oh my God.
Well,
so I don't know. I have to figure out what to do.
I think that checking that box off of your bucket list is very important.
Oh, sleeping with a porn star?
Yeah. So,
well, when you put it that
just
way,
for that reason alone, I mean, that is bragging rights. You can leave on your special skills.
This whole show just got a lot more interesting.
It did.
Okay, well, you know what? I'm going to think about that. It wasn't on my bucket list, but I think I'm going to put it on there.
Yeah, exactly. Write it on, and then just let me. Please keep me updated on this. I want to know everything about it.
I will. I don't know what to do here. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, there's a whole lot of Drop the Subject. Dr. Jen Mann's coming up a little bit later. Allie's going to be telling her coming out story, Just a Tip Tuesday. There's so much coming up. You're not going to want to miss it. Stick around.
Drop the Subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q. Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.
Welcome back to Drop the Subject. I'm Janet.
I'm Allie.
We're working on things for you guys in the show, and you know, we're getting some things booked.
We are. Do you know we're hard at work while you're just sitting there listening to music and joyous commercials. We're working hard for you. It's all fun and games, isn't it?
Exactly. We're on phone calls. We're booking guests, okay?
We are about to make your life even easier, believe it or not. When it comes to hotels, this is just the Tip Tuesday. We love to share any tips, tricks, life hacks, advice for you to make your life a little bit easier. And this week we are discussing hotel hacks because there was a tweet that went out, I believe yesterday or maybe over the weekend, and it spurred an entire Twitter storm of people's favorite hotel hacks. And I will start with this one because it is the most valuable. This was the tweet that set everyone into motion. You know that little crack in between the curtains when you are sitting in a hotel room, you're trying to sleep, or maybe it's just morning and you wake up and your little eye is just barely adjusting to the light, and that beam, that fluorescent beam of light just pokes through the curtains.
Right.
You can never seem to get them closed all the way.
Yeah, I've been in this torturous situation, yeah.
Yeah, and you said, can it get worse? I don't know.
My best friend and I love to. There is nothing worse in life than a little crack in the curtain. It's like, there's nothing worse in life than
nothing
that?
Nothing at all?
There's nothing worse.
That's it.
It's the worst thing.
Well, this Twitter genius has solved the problem for you. Here's what you do.
Okay.
You go over to that closet area that you normally never pay attention to. You take the pants hanger.
Oh.
Maybe two or three if they're available. Then you
clip them together
and create a little closure.
That's smart.
And but they're basically clothespins, so you might as well use them to fasten the curtains together so that little beam of light is never bothering you ever again.
Really smart. Okay.
Okay, that's just the beginning.
That's just the beginning of Just a Tip.
It's just the tip of the tip. Here's more for you.
Emmy was like, wait a minute. You guys did a thing.
Yeah. It's all about context, Emmy. We're not talking about sex at all.
Well, we weren't until you said that.
We're already done talking about Jared Hill's Twitter, our Tinder date. Okay, here's another one. This comes from Vinyl Rabbit on Twitter. My hotel hack is that if you ever forgot your phone charger, which happens a lot when you're traveling, ask the front desk because they have a box. They always have a box full of them behind the front desk.
Of course they do.
Why wouldn't they? Because half the people in this country leave their phone chargers. Yeah. So they have a million of them. Don't think to yourself, oh, I've forgotten my phone charger. I have to go buy a new one.
This almost makes me want to just say I forgot it anyway and get an extra one.
Exactly. You probably could. So there's a life hack for you.
That's very smart. Yeah.
All right. Another person who travels often for work, Acroll on Twitter, said, my favorite hotel hack is that your ironing board can act as an adjustable height desk.
Yes, I've actually done this.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never thought to do this. There's several ironing board tricks here.
Really?
Yeah, where you can use the ironing board for different things. So the chairs never seem to be the right height,
The desk? Oh, that's so true.
It's so true. Yeah. So you can sit your ass down on the chair, and then you can use the ironing board to adjust to have a makeshift desk that's the proper height.
My best friend for years, he hadn't like finished decorating his apartment, and I was like, you need to get a dining room table. You need to get a dining room table, because he would always... I'm so embarrassed to even say this. He would sit on his couch and use the ironing board as like a TV dinner tray. Oh, and so we started calling it his dining board. And like, it was a running joke for a long time. And I was like, when I come to New York, you're getting a dining room table, because the ironing board is perfect for that. You can adjust it to any height.
Now, what was it, a full size ironing board?
Yes.
It wasn't even those little baby ones.
Right, because he's sitting on the couch, so he needed it to be lower than than something else, I guess you could pull over. And so it was just, the dining board was like the running joke for a year. We still joke about
nice
that to this
cauliflower day. Cauliflower blue ironing board top.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, this is beautiful. All right, another tip. Soak a towel. If you have a dry hotel room, which can be a common problem as well. Soak a towel, wring it a little tight so that it's not pouring off of the towel, then hang it over the ironing board in front of the vent/heater.
Okay.
That will make it so that the hotel room is no longer dry.
Interesting. You're making a makeshift humidifier?
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess so.
That sounds a little hood, but okay. I'm okay with that one.
I'll
pass on that one.
What do you think is more so, the thing that your friend is doing or the thing that this person is doing?
Oh, I mean, they're both ratchet, so let's just be real about it.
All right, there are several more here, but I'll give you one more before we take a moment. Overriding the hotel thermostat is my go-to hotel hack. I also put duct tape over the motion sensor so that I can be comfortable at night.
Wait, how do you override it?
So when you're not... I don't know how to override it, but...
Because remember we did that story a while ago where
they
were saying
can't.
The thermostats aren't even real. Like, it's just, like, hot and cold.
All right, I'm going to do some investigating on this, because there is a lifehacker.com article to correspond with this.
Well, we've got an iTeam investigation into this. Allie Johnson, our investigative reporter, is going to be back with more. Don't go anywhere.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
All right. I've got an update for you.
Okay.
Jarrett and Allie here, drop the subject.
You've done quite an investigation into this hotel hacks.
Like I said, we've been working hard.
Right.
We left off talking about for Just the Tip Tuesday, hotel room hacks. And a lot of people on Twitter have been weighing in. One of the people who weighed in said that their big hack is to override the thermostat in the hotel room, which we've talked about before as something that a lot of people think works, but in fact doesn't. A lot of times they've set a certain temperature, even though you're turning it up and down, nothing really happens because it's has a predetermined setting on it.
Right.
Here is how to override that.
There's an actual... I'm excited about this. Okay.
Hold down the display button. Step one.
Okay.
While holding that display button down, press the off button. Then release the off button, but continue holding down display. Then press the up arrow button. Then release all of the buttons.
Oh my God, this is crazy. This seems like it works for one specific kind of thermostat.
I think this is what I did to get through The Lion King in Sega.
I was going to say, I feel like I definitely did this in Sonic the Hedgehog.
Like, just to like speed up really fast and get it.
Left, you know what I mean?
Right.
X.
So again, hold down display button. While holding that, press the off button. Release the off button, then press the up arrow button, then release all of the buttons. This trick should override the heat sensor, and it should disable the motion sensor that many hotels use to keep the heating and cooling system active only when guests are in the room.
Also, I feel like if you go to a hotel and you want to adjust your thermostat, look at the thermostat, look at the brand of it, and Google override this brand thermostat. And
I think basically that's the hack, is Google how to override it. So some of the other ones that came through were, if you don't want to hold the remote, the TV remote is supposed to be one of the dirtiest things in the hotel room.
Oh my God, yeah.
You can a lot of them now come in bags. They'll come in a little bag.
I always think about, my phone must be disgusting.
It's the most, it's dirtier than your toilet, I guarantee you.
Yeah. It has to be.
It is. I think it's dirtier than the bottom of a woman's purse, which is the dirtiest thing in creation.
Gross.
I think it's dirtier than money,
your phone. I just threw up in my mouth a little bit. Whenever I think about like the bottom of the purse, the bottom of your shoe, like
a random penny, a Benadryl,
a Benadryl.
Yeah, just some random
in the bottom of your purse.
Yeah. Oh yeah, just
I was
random.
Like, why are Benadryl so dirty?
No, those are just some of the many things you can find.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. A random Benadryl, half an aspirin.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Like a hair tie, a bobby pin.
An unidentified pill. You don't know what it is.
A Starbucks card that doesn't work.
That has like, no, it has like 36 cents on it or something. You know what I mean? Yes. It's like, what am I going to do with this?
It's the type of thing that your mom gives you if you're going to Starbucks. Like, here, hold on. I've got a
Exactly.
I've got a thing.
Or it's like $5, but your drink was $4.80 and it's like, what am I going to do with this?
Yes. Okay. All right. So the other thing is, so the remote, that remote that's really dirty, some of the hotel rooms now, they have them already in prepackaged bags.
Okay.
But another hack, if they don't, I've seen that.
Okay.
I was like, what the hell? But if they don't have that, this person says to wrap it in a shower cap.
Other than just clean it?
I mean, if you have like Lysol wipes on you, I guess you could do that. But on the subject of what is the dirtiest thing in the hotel room, a couple of my friends have worked in the hotel industry for a long time and they have given me some hacks.
Okay.
So that top cover that's usually on the bottom portion of the bed, it's like a little duvet.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Take that off immediately and throw it in the corner of the room.
Or burn it.
Just burn it.
Just do
along
not
with the
touch
goat
it.
That you're sacrificing in the room. No. You should never touch that thing because they don't wash it. She was like, no hotel I've ever worked at washes those things ever. So you don't know what people have been doing with that duvet cover. Just throw it in the corner of the room and never look back.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
The other thing is not necessarily sofas, but sofa chairs that just kind of sit in the corner of the room.
Yeah.
They never ever clean those either.
Oh, yeah.
So
no.
Don't sit in those. And then the other thing she always said was never to use the coffee pots. Because what'll happen is that flight attendants, when they're staying overnight and they have a tiny little bag, they don't have a lot of clean clothes, a lot of the flight attendants will use that as a makeshift laundry, and they'll put their underwear in the where you put the coffee grounds in that little cup.
Oh, God.
And they'll put a little soap in there, and so it'll cycle through with hot water and soap and clean their underwear. So they use that.
Wow. I have a friend who actually
bothering
has...
Is you? Are reacting.
Yeah, a little bit. I have a friend who actually... He was he traveled with the Alvin Ailey dance crew around the world. And he had like a Converse story. He said that he had... One of their team members was like a culinary genius and would make like all kinds of like wonderful food just out of the coffee maker.
Oh, no.
He said that they would make stews and all kinds of craziness because they can cook with a coffee maker. And I was like, that is amazing.
Yes, but now knowing what you know now, that every flight attendant
you've
got
to disinfect the hell out of it.
Has washed their underwear.
Come
in
with
there.
Your own coffee pot.
Drop the subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q.
All right. Drop the subject, Allie and Jarrett, and it is that time of the show where we need to talk about a person who seems to be, though not well, running this country. This is Trump Around. All right, what the hell's going on today?
So I want to start out by saying that I feel like every weekend there is a headline that talks about how unhinged Donald Trump is.
He's unstable. He's unraveling. Close friends are saying that he's losing it.
Like, literally every weekend there's a headline about that somewhere. I want to say that this past week and a half, 2 weeks since the impeachment inquiry, something seems different. I will put it that way. Because he has been tweeting like crazy, and he's been tweeting crazy. just
well,
want to be clear.
What was the thing that he said? Yeah, because I have one in front of me about Turkey, but you sent one yesterday.
So it's funny because I just pulled up his Twitter page to try and find the tweet yesterday because I'm like, oh, it'll be there. He has tweeted like 75,000 times since that tweet yesterday morning. So yesterday morning, he tweeted the following. As I've stated strongly before, and just to reiterate, if Turkey does anything that I, in my great and unmatched wisdom, consider to be off limits, I will totally destroy and obliterate the economy of Turkey. I've done before. They must, with Europe and others, watch over the captured ISIS fighters and families. And he goes on.
It's important that Twitter knows about this instead of people around.
First of all, my favorite reply to this tweet, someone wrote, Is it at all here it is. What are the odds he's talking about an actual turkey?
Yeah, well, I was thinking too. It's like that's when hilarious. It comes to decisions on Turkey, the decision for him is usually yes.
I mean, like obliterate. But
I will obliterate a turkey.
So for context, this is after he got off of the phone with the Turkish leader, and you know the reporting is. And I want to be fully transparent. Like foreign policy is not my strong suit. But just listening into the reporting yesterday, they were saying that he was on a call with the Turkish leader, and this is basically like giving Turkey everything that they wanted, and it's. We're going to be, according to him, and I don't know that this is actually going to happen, but according to Trump, that we're going to be pulling all of our support out of Turkey and leaving all of our allies that have stood alongside us and
fighting
fought in
ISIS.
Turkey and fighting ISIS and working in Syria. We're basically leaving them on their own.
When they were helping us.
When they've done everything
to
help
us.
Exactly.
So it seems like a lot of Republicans have been really upset about this.
Right.
Lindsey Graham's really upset.
Part of the reason I'm not sure that this is going to happen is because we saw something like this happen similarly last year when he said they all of a sudden out of nowhere, we were completely pulling out of Syria. And Republicans were like, yo, bro.
What?
What did you say?
Right.
And he kind of walked that back. I suspect that's possible here. But I also remind you. I said a couple of weeks ago, when this impeachment inquiry began, he's going to pull a stunt. There is going to be some kind of huge something he's going to do.
You're right, you called it.
And like, I don't know if it's going to be this or if it's going to be something else, but like this impeachment inquiry has him shook and he's going to do something stunty.
Well, Lindsey Graham said, I don't know all the details regarding President Trump's decision in North Syria. In process of setting up a phone call with Secretary Pompeo, if press reports are accurate, this is a disaster in the making.
Exactly. And I mean, he made this decision by himself without consulting his administration.
That's what I mean. It's like, you're just tweeting at like everyone on Twitter knows, but the people that should be told immediately don't know yet.
Or even like consulted with to get their opinions, to get some perspective on like what the consequences of this are. I think that a lot of people don't think how much goes into every decision that comes out of the White House. And it's interesting because the narrative around this is, well, the White House's decision to do this, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, to be clear, this is not the White House's decision.
No.
This is just Donald Trump.
Exactly. And his great and powerful wisdom. Well, I think the most important...
His unmatched wisdom.
God.
He sounds like a North Korean dictator. And like, that is the kind of language that they use, that they're infallible, that they're perfect. That
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, the biggest takeaway I saw from Trump around, and we haven't mentioned this yet, but I think it's worth mentioning, Nickelback has seen a 569% surge in song downloads after Trump's photograph tweet. So
look at God.
They are great and powerful.
God works in mysterious ways.
He certainly does.
Drop the subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q. Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Drop the subject presents. News it or lose it.
It's not cold in the studio.
Are you chilly?
I'm a little chilly. welcome back to Drop the Subject. It is time for democracy.
It is
time for our democratized segment where, Allie, you've got the headlines, I've got the votes, and the people get the news. So you've got five headlines, I've got the bell. Let's do it.
All right. Here's your first headline, Jarrett. Thieves steal duffel bag, then duffel bag starts moving.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Headline number two, Halloween costume based on this 80s sitcom sells out at Target.
80s sitcom. Okay, that sounds like a fun guessing game. Yes.
Okay. Headline number three, Tesla cars to get fart and goat horn sounds.
Hardcore pass.
Okay.
Lose it.
I think, yeah, that's okay. Headline number four, here's why doctors say herpes can be a good thing.
Oh, God. A lot of people have herpes out there, so what is it? There are a lot of people with herpes.
Yes.
They say everyone has like some form of it.
One in four, I believe.
Something like that, yeah. So we'll do it.
And then finally, headline number five, why Venus in Scorpio is the sexiest time of year?
I don't even know what any of those words mean. Lose it.
All right, so we're newsing thieves steal duffel bag, then duffel bag starts moving on its own.
Oh, Jesus.
Halloween costumes based on this 80s sitcom sell out at Target, and here's why doctors say herpes is good.
I'm thinking the 80s costume is probably designing women.
Drop the subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q. Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
We are back. It's a big week around here. We are celebrating our 1 year anniversary on Friday. So we've got like social meds in the studio right now. They're shooting us, making us feel like we're really important and
yeah,
stuff.
I feel like I've been off the camera for quite a while.
Yeah.
Being in radio. So when the cameras get in here, I'm like...
I texted you yesterday. I was like, hey, we're shooting video tomorrow. So just so you know, you'll be on camera. You said, let me bust out the good flannel.
I mean, this isn't flannel, but this is probably as femmy as I get right now.
Well, it's time for News It or Lose It.
Drop the Subject presents News It or Lose It.
So we newsed three of your stories. You didn't get 5 out of 5 this time. A little disappointed in you, but it's fine.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm just doing it for the sake of time because
okay.
These three stories are real gems.
Okay.
We'll start off with the duffel bag that was stolen. Now, it's never fun to get things stolen from either your car or just when you're packing your things into your car, which is what was happening for this guy, Brian Gundy. He had just given a talk and an animal presentation at the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Library in downtown San Jose. This is my old hood.
Okay.
He was going to get his car parked on the second level of the fourth and San... Wow, this is very specific. Very specific parking garage. He left a duffel bag in a no parking zone area. He was loading his stuff into his car.
Okay.
When he returned, oh no, duffel bag's been stolen.
Okay.
What a bummer.
Go fig.
Of course, in these scenarios, you want the perpetrator to be caught. You want them to get their due. And I don't know if this person got arrested, but they did get something they did not bargain for, because when the duffel bag started moving, they opened it up and there were 4 snakes and a lizard inside.
Are you serious?
Because he was given a talk on animal and an animal presentation. So he was like, had a bag full of snakes.
Oh my God.
That he was like, hello everyone, here's everything about these ball pythons. Now I'm going to load them back into my car.
Oh my God. Okay, so I totally thought you were going to say something like, there was a puppy, and I was like, why would there be a puppy in a bag? So then I was trying to figure out like what is going on here. The idea of opening up that bag and there were snakes in it, I would never sleep again.
Yeah, 8 heads in a duffel bag, successful movie. 4 snakes in a duffel bag, not as successful.
Absolutely not. Snakes on the plane, let me tell you, the concept of that alone, I was terrified. I never saw the movie.
Really? I don't think I've ever seen that movie.
I could not
either.
See it. Like, because airplanes, like, I'm totally fine flying. Like, I don't have any anxiety around that. But, like, it's, like, such a confined, enclosed space where, like, nothing can get in or out. And the idea of being trapped in there with snakes just horrified me.
Well, especially in those overhead bins. I mean, nothing ever stays in there.
Oh, absolutely.
And then
God.
When they're moving around, they get all agitated.
Moving on.
Okay, so Halloween is on the brain for a lot of people. They're getting costume ideas, and they're already purchasing their costumes. One costume in particular is already sold out in all Targets.
Okay, wait. Let me have a hint here. You said 80s sitcom.
80s sitcom.
Okay. Anything else that you can tell me about this?
I mean, I feel like if I give you any clues, you're going to get it.
It's probably Golden Girls.
It's Golden Girls.
It is?
Yes.
Okay, I was thinking Designing Women.
I was like, if I give you any hint, you're going to be like, you've already got it.
I was thinking Designing Women because they just came to Hulu and I've been watching that. But I'm like, Golden Girls is like, obviously the more iconic of the shows.
Hey, you know what? I will say I did it first. I was Sophia Petrillo for Halloween probably 6 or 7 years ago.
Before Sophia Petrillo.
It was great. Yeah. I really committed to the costume. And I'm just going to say these costumes, even though they are sold out online and at Target stores, They're subpar. Really? You know? I mean, you really don't need to get a costume package.
Not for that.
For that.
You can go to the thrift store and get a good wig.
You can get a great dress.
Emmy's so proud of herself right now.
And a travel down.
It's a good song.
Back again. I can't even.
Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant. And if you threw a party, you invited everyone you knew. You would see the biggest gift would be from me. And the card attached would say, thank you for being my friend.
Yeah.
I used to always think she would say, you would see the biggest stick of juicy fruit. I don't know why.
Stick of juicy fruit?
I have no idea why.
You're
I
mixing
that's
up your 80s TV.
Exactly, yes. Well, I used to always think that was the lyric.
So I advise everybody to, one, just rewatch The Golden Girls if you haven't already.
So good.
It's just, I mean, I've seen every episode probably 17 times and I will continue to.
I just got an awesome book when I was at Barnes & Noble randomly. It's about The Golden Girls. It's about every episode. It's about the set. It's about how the characters came to be. I'm going to bring it in. It's
right.
Extraordinary.
Let's blow past Halloween and go straight to Christmas.
There we go.
For me. Exactly. Thank you very much.
We'll take a quick break. When we come back, News It or Lose It continues.
Drop the subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q.
All right, Allie. So we're in the middle of News It or Lose It. You have this story that you say is going to make people wish they had herpes, but turns out...
Two-thirds
of the global population has some form of herpes, which is crazy. You were saying that you thought it was 1 in 4. I thought it was half. It's 2/3.
Okay. I think like literally 3 years ago, it was 1 in 4. So well, it is hot and heavy herpes. It's not going anywhere.
According to CBS News, it says 2/3 of the world population has herpes. More than 3.7 billion people under the age of 50, about 67% of the global population, are infected with herpes simple virus, simplex virus 1, according to a new report from the World Health Organization. But that was back in 2015. So
it's like everyone now.
I mean, basically the whole globe. But like there's a version of herpes that, you know, has the
Well, there's the upstairs and there's the downstairs.
Right. But then there's some that like kind of lies dormant in people's bodies that they, I guess, don't even
Well, it also depends on who you are and how your body reacts to the virus. So like some people could have herpes virus and they could have breakouts all the time. And there are some people that can have it that will never break out. More women will break out than men.
Right.
Many men will have it dormant in their system and they won't even know, which is how it gets transmitted so easily.
Yeah. It says genital herpes is an STD. This is from the CDC. Is an STD caused by two types of viruses. Viruses are called simplex virus 1 and simplex virus type 2. It's just so interesting.
Yeah, and I forget which one's the upstairs and which one's the downstairs. But and don't ask me why I know so much about herpes simplex virus, but I know a great deal.
Listen.
Okay.
Okay.
Here's why, if you don't have it or if you have it, this is good news all around. Because yes, as Jarrett said, everyone's getting the herp. If you haven't gotten it already, but God, you probably got it now.
By the end of the segment.
By the end of the segment, you will have the herp. But here's where we all win. A doctor in... Where is this? He is in Our Lady of the Lake Cancer Center.
Of course. As one does.
I don't know where that is, but his name is Dr. Vince Cataldo. And he has discovered that injecting the herpes virus into skin cancer cells will extremely reduce, if not completely eliminate, melanoma in patients.
Interesting. But it doesn't, does it work like a vaccine does? Does it still give you herpes though?
It, let me see. So he says it seems strange to be injecting a live herpes virus into a patient, but it is a modified herpes virus that is modified to the point where it is only able to infect the melanoma cell. So I would guess that means no, you're not getting herpes virus all throughout your body. It's just being isolated into the melanoma cells. And it says it recognizes the melanoma cell as a host. So melanoma cells, we've got some in common. We're all hosts. So then it will trigger the patient's immune system to kill other cancer cells throughout the body, but it only works on a small subset of melanoma patients. So this is still in testing.
Okay.
It says it's for patients who have too much skin disease or lymph node disease to remove it all surgically, and they can. This is just another form of treatment that they can inject these herpes virus, you know,
Interesting.
Samples into the melanoma cells.
So I'm a person who every time I hear a story, I tend to think to myself, like, how did this happen? And I'm thinking, like, how do you discover this?
Right. Like, you know how Viagra was created.
Absolutely. Oh, because they were looking for heart medication.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And they were like, oh, wait, this is wonderful. So did somebody accidentally like, oh, no, I was supposed to give you a flu shot. Oh, no, whoopsie, I gave you herpes. Why do I have a vial
right.
of this?
I'm trying to figure out like
just
how these kind
around.
Of things. I mean, I'm sure there's like a lot of, well, we knew that the such and such genome would do such and such to the mitochondria, which it can't be that because I think mitochondria is only in plants. But anyway, I'm sure that there's a way that they arrive at it. But like I think about Michael Che from SNL, and he was asking the question of like, the first person to drink milk was a freak.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Oh, and like, cheese.
Exactly. Like, how did you realize that we could get milk from cows and then drink it? Like, were you just up there, up underneath the udder? Like, like, I just wonder how these things happen.
And you think about smoked salmon? That was just sitting there, salmon. Oh. It was just salmon that had been sitting for so long, and someone was like,
I want to try it.
I'm going to eat that.
Exactly, yeah.
And there you go.
This is
history's
interesting.
Made.
This is interesting. I love how they can use a virus in a positive way. They do this with HIV and AIDS that they've been testing. They've been doing it with cancer. They've been doing it with so many different things. So
yeah.
A very cool development.
So being positive could be a positive.
Does it make me want to have herpes, though?
Oh, I beg to differ.
Yeah.
Drop the subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q. Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
So, Allie, I understand that a young girl went to a homecoming dance and she got turned away for what she was wearing.
Yes. Well, I've looked into a little more of these details because this is a story that's been going viral over the past few days and people are very, very upset about it. This girl was turned away from a homecoming dance because she was wearing a jumpsuit instead of a dress. And I guess the event organizer pointed out that the dress code stated young women were required to wear dresses. And I think you and I were both going, what kind of school would require everybody to wear dresses?
Right. This immediately makes me think this was like a religious school.
Well, close. This girl was turned away from a private dance for homeschooled students.
Okay.
Which I didn't know happened, but I guess the homeschool community has their own little homecoming dances and proms and stuff like that. And this girl, her name's Darcy Kruger, she was trying to figure out a nice semi-formal look that felt comfortable, stylish, but didn't violate the event's ban on plunging backs and low-cut dresses. So those were the only requirements that she thought that she had to meet. She was store hopping. She couldn't find anything that was, you know, looking good. So she ended on a black dressy jumpsuit. And let me just say, from my own personal perspective, jumpsuits are a gift from God. They are such a fantastic thing for people like me who do not like wearing dresses. I never liked wearing dresses. My mother would cry trying to get me to put on a dress when I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
The invention of jumpsuits is one of the most wonderful things I have ever experienced.
Okay.
The day before I got married, I was in a beautiful jumpsuit. I mean, they have a way of looking very stunning, mm-hmm. very regal, while still having this this polished look without having to wear a damn dress if
they
you don't want
look,
to.
They always look very dressed up, but also very comfy.
People look fierce in jumpsuits. When you have a good jumpsuit, it's choice stuff. So this girl, and she had her hair all done up. I mean, she looked so cute. So then she is a 17-year-old girl. She shows up at the private dance for hundreds of homeschooled students. This is taking place in Tampa. And she was turned away at the door. And the mother says, I thought that there had to be some kind of a misunderstanding. What century are we really in? But now she was turned away and everyone's really pissed off. One of the, this is the mother put on Facebook, because, you know, when you're a mom, you got to go to Facebook to rant.
Right.
She said, my daughter was just denied entrance because her dress attire had a crotch in it. Tell me this isn't semi-formal attire. The lady who wouldn't let her in had pants on and refused to look at my screenshot of the dress code. Darcy's so upset, and so am I. The dress code didn't mention pantsuit dress attire for ladies. I'm feeling awful. Hashtag senior... a homecoming ruined. Oh,
it's her mom told CNN, "I knew the dress code, but it didn't occur to me that it was going to be a problem." She said the emphasis of the dress code was on modesty and coverage of all the lady bits. She said, It says the dress code states a requirement for a semi-formal dress for young ladies before advising girls to plan your attire within a conservative manner. Conservative being an interesting word there.
Yeah, and you know what? You could argue that jumpsuits are even more conservative than dresses.
Well, so that's what I was going to say next, because the dress code allowed strapless, knee-length, and two-piece dresses with less than a two-inch gap at the midsection. So she's more covered up than the actual dress code request.
Than a two-piece dress?
Yeah. This also happened in Tampa Bay, where I was on the news there for a year.
You would have been reporting on this if you were still there.
I actually probably would have. That and the Scientology documentary that had me horrified.
I'd love to see that. Is that anywhere?
I don't know if it exists somewhere, but it always makes me cringe a little bit. The school came out and said, "We highly discourage dresses that are too revealing and that are simply too short. Dresses that expose a plunging neckline or backlines are not appropriate. You will not be allowed in if your dress is questionable." That is wildin'.
Yeah, because you know what? Just because you are wearing pants does not mean that you are not a lady. And that you are not dressed appropriately. I mean, the fact that you are forcing women to wear dresses. What if somebody wants to wear a damn tux?
I mean,
what if they want to wear a formal tuxedo? They are not allowed to go to the homeschooled friggin' homecoming party?
I mean, yeah.
Also, how horrible. I can't go to a homeschooled homecoming
party. Well, apparently, according to the CNN article, it says this particular event, 390 students brought tickets, and only one student had to be turned away, and it was due to the dress code. 390 students is not a small event.
No. Where the hell was that taking place?
I mean, yeah.
Like, is that at someone's house?
No, it says they do this twice a year, apparently. I didn't know that the homeschool events were that big.
That must be kind of nice, because you don't really know anybody. You're like,
it's
anyone's
great
a possibility.
Or it's awful.
Yeah.
I don't know you're which
like,
one it is.
Yeah. But I mean, there's a lot of fish in the pond there if you're looking.
That's a good point.
Well, wear your damn jumpsuits, ladies. Do not feel bad about it at all. Take it from a lady who hates dresses.
Absolutely. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back.
Drop the subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q. Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Okay, Allie, we've got like a lot of like little things to touch on here.
We have some business.
We have
administrative
business. We've got some Sochmeads coming in. I saw in our DMs we had a gay or cray cray kind of scenario.
We do. Somebody direct messaged us with to ask us if they are gay or cray cray. And you can always direct message us on Instagram at DTS Show. You can also do so on Twitter at DTS Show. So this comes in from My Mini Adventures. And they said, is our wedding altar gay or cray cray? It consists of, so in the picture, there's a brown stool, right? And it's surrounded by, in the backdrop, there's like a white sheer curtain.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes on to say, in the middle, on top of the stool, is two candles, two punk quartz crystals, and dead flowers in the middle of a glass container.
This feels all lesbian to me.
I mean, I look at this and I'm pretty sure I have every single one of these things on my coffee table at home.
This screams Goddess Moon Circle fan.
It really does. I was like, this is a great idea. This is a great centerpiece. So I'm definitely going to say gay on that.
I'm definitely saying les.
So just let us know, my mini adventures, if we are correct. We are definitely going all around gay on that. Caroline has also direct messaged us on Instagram because we talked to her last week about CornCon. She's one of the many people that is not a fake account and is very in support of candy corn, loves it, and wants to help us plan CornCon. She direct messaged us a picture of the movie Candy Corn.
Excuse me?
There is a movie called Candy Corn, and it says Candy Corn is out on DVD now, and she says, movie night?
No.
So
that sounds awful.
So there's that. There's also from Chris Contreras on Twitter. He said that our talk about what were we talking about? The least favorite candy in America is candy corn, and it was the number two was circus peanuts. So Chris Contreras said that CornCon sounds inevitable, but at least it's not Circus Peanut Con.
Can you imagine?
And now he's like following up with other tweets saying, actually, you know what? Maybe we should also do Circus Peanut Con and see who comes.
Nope.
The idea that more people would attend Circus Peanut Con than Candy Corn Con is ridiculous.
So I just want to be clear, like, Corn Con is happening. Circus Peanut Con is trash. It is awful. I will fight against that lobby. we will raise up a super PAC if we need to. Stop it.
I'm fine. We can call up Mark Zuckerberg. We can call all the big tech giants and be like, please give us money.
We wouldn't normally do this, but I will tell you, we've been having conversations with the Jelly Belly people about working on this together.
There are talks happening, people.
There are conversations being had about Corn Con, what it could be.
What it deserves to be.
What it deserves. You're absolutely right. Corn Con deserves more.
It really does.
Especially more than Circus Peanut Con.
To take you into this next break, we are going to share with you the gayest sports highlights of the week, because, you know, it was a big week in the NFL. I watched the 49er game last night, and to all the Bay Area fans, go Niners. We are 4-0. It's unbelievable. Wow. We're having the bet. They haven't gotten 4-0 since like 1991. So it's been a really great season
back
for them.
Back in their heyday when we were kids.
Yes. Okay. This is like, I mean, I don't want to jinx anything, but it's going well.
Okay.
So we're just going to kind of leave it at that. But I did notice while I was watching the game, hey, there are a lot of gay moments happening right now, because the sports analysis tend to use things like, oh, they had great penetration on the D and all kinds of things like that. So here, without further ado, is the gayest sports highlights of the week.
Here are the gayest sports highlights from the week.
McCoy on the move, going to tuck it and run. Got that jumbo package in on second and six. The third drive now starting in Browns territory. Johnson, great penetration inside, and the penetration came from Neville Hewitt.
Two receivers at the bottom.
Batted away at the last second by E-Man. Pressure again, and he goes down again.
Yeah, fortunately I didn't have to endure that.
These have been the gayest sports highlights from this week.
Drop the subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q. Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Welcome back to Drop the Subject. I'm Jarrett. That's Allie. And on the phone is one of our faves. She's here every Tuesday with us. Her name is Dr. Jen Mann. Hey, Dr. Jen.
Hey.
So Dr. Jen is a love, sex, relationships therapist. She's got a fantastic book called The Relationship Fix. And she's here to help us with a question about dating and depression. It's a really interesting question from one of your InStyle articles. Someone writes a letter and says the following. When my boyfriend and I first started dating, he told me that he struggled with depression. In retrospect, I think I was naive. I didn't realize how much it would impact me and our relationship. What can I do to help our relationship when he's struggling?
And, you know, I love this question because it is something that so many people struggle with, and so many people have partners that are struggling with depression. Actually, 17 million adults in this country suffer from depression. And that doesn't even count a lot of the subclinical depression issues that are going on. So it's so, so common. And it really does impact relationships. And, you know, what we found is the studies show that relationships where at least one partner suffers from depression, they have a divorce rate that's 9 times higher.
Oh my God.
Wow.
So it really does impact relationships, and it's important for people to know what to do and how to handle it.
So one of the first things that comes to mind for me is, you know, when my partner may be feeling depressed, or maybe I'm feeling depressed or vice versa, we've run into the common response, which is, what can I do to make you feel better, or how can I help you? I tend to be a problem solver, but that's not always something that can help in these scenarios. Is that one of the issues that you're finding?
For sure. And, you know, it's important to understand that there are two different kinds of depression. One is situational, where something happens. There's a loss, a death, someone loses a job, someone gets injured. You know, those kind of depressions are very situational. And then there's depression that is kind of an underlying depression. And certain people are more prone to that. Some people are genetically more prone. Some people are more prone because they suffer from child abuse or neglect or trauma or substance abuse. Things like that make you more likely. But you can't solve your partner's depression. But what you can do is you can support them through it. And you can also put things in perspective in terms of getting help. That's really one of the most important things. That, you know, someone wrote to me on, I think it was Instagram a while back, and said, I finally got help. It was so weak of me that I finally got myself into therapy. And it's actually the reverse. It takes strength to get help. It takes strength to really attack your problem. It takes strength to be willing to admit there is a problem and do something about it, and to be willing to do the painful, difficult work to overcome it. And it's important to understand that unlike things like eating disorders or substance abuse, depression is something that all therapists are trained to handle. There are certain things like eating disorders that you want a specialist. But when it comes to treatment of depression, for us therapists, it's kind of like, it's so common. It's like a doctor treating a cold. We all know how to treat it. We've all been trained in it. And to help your partner to understand, if there's someone with chronic depression that's not a situational depression that will probably pass on its own with the love and support of family and friends, if it's a deeper issue, that getting help is really important.
One of the things I think is really important is like pointing out the symptoms of depression, because I know for myself, I denied it for a long time because I thought that it meant I had to be on the couch under the covers with the curtains drawn and crying. But for me, it manifests itself a lot of times in tiredness and feeling lethargic or feeling a lack of motivation.
Or easily overwhelmed, things like that. Yeah.
Totally. And like, I've never cried in my depression. And I thought, well, then I can't be depressed because I'm not crying. Can you talk about what some of the symptoms are and how they can vary?
And look, you just described a bunch of them. One of the things that most people don't realize is that there's what's called an agitated depression. It's most common in men, but we see it in women a lot too. And that a lot of the time when men are depressed, they have this agitation and underlying anger. And, you know, obviously you don't want to excuse a partner's bad behavior, but if you see a partner who it seems like they are sleeping a lot more or a lot less, if they are eating a lot more or a lot less, and you see this along with it, you want to look at that. You know, when you're struggling with depression, we generally see, like I just mentioned, changes in appetite, changes in sleep, changes in pleasure. In other words, the things that once gave you pleasure don't give you pleasure anymore. Also, libido. A lot of the time we see people where their libido has decreased, and sometimes a partner can take that personally, especially if they don't know it's depression. Oh, you're not attracted to me anymore. And sometimes even the person who's depressed, who doesn't know they're depressed, may be like, I don't know, maybe I'm not. I have no idea. But it's important to really start to recognize, especially when you see any cluster of these symptoms, that it is depression.
Well, yeah, I guess you hit on that when you talk about things like a decreased libido. It's easy for the partner to think that it's their fault or that they're doing something that is making the other person depressed, and that it is actually because the person might not be happy in their relationship. So one of the things in your article that I think is so important is that you advise this person that this isn't happening because of you and your behavior.
And we all can get kind of egocentric and think that everything's about us, you know, especially when it comes to our partner, our intimate person, because a big part of our lives are shared together. Oh, if he or she is down, it must be something in the relationship. And sometimes even when someone is depressed, if they don't know it, they can think that the relationship is the problem when it's really an internal problem.
I think one of the last things I wanted to ask you about is when you notice some of these things in your partner, like you were talking about, you notice changes in their eating habits or in their libido or things like that. If you can start to see all of the signs of this, how do you address that with a partner?
In a very gentle, non-judgmental way. And I think to say something like, hey, hon, you know, I've just noticed that there have been some changes in your habits. And, you know, you can say, I heard on this radio show this therapist talking about depression. And I'm wondering if maybe you might be struggling with something. I've noticed that your eating habits and your sleeping habits have changed. It seems like you're having a hard time sleeping, or it seems like you're sleeping more than usual. And, you know, I'm just here to support you and love you, but I'm concerned. And, you know, I think it's worth us looking into.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely encourage anyone who might be experiencing these symptoms to get help. I mean, I'm a huge advocate for therapy no matter what. I think everyone should have to go.
Yeah, should be in therapy,
especially with the climate and the world that we're living in now. It's just, I feel like everybody needs it. And I'm really glad and that people like you, Dr. Jen, are here to communicate some of this stuff and talk about mental health, because I think it's becoming less and less scary to people as time goes on. So we really appreciate talking to you every week. and this is an especially important topic.
And I want to add one other thing, and that is that a lot of the time people think, oh, I can't afford therapy. But it's important to know that every city in this country, pretty much, and a lot of towns as well, have low-cost, low-fee clinics. All you have to do is Google your area and mental health clinic, and there are a lot of options for low-cost, low-fee, or even nothing, depending on your income, therapy where you can get really good help.
Dr. Jen, you can find her incredible articles on InStyle.com. She does a weekly column, and you can go to Dr. Jen Mann for all information. Two N's in Jen, two N's in Mann. You can also pick up her book, The Relationship Fix. Thank you, Dr. Jen. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Thanks so much.
Drop the subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q. Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
So, Allie, we
Jared.
Have been celebrating National Coming Out Day. That's coming up on Friday, which is also the coming out day of Channel Q. It'll be our 1-year anniversary on Friday.
Yes.
So all week long.
Coming Out is still on the air.
Yes. And we, yesterday I told my coming out story, and I told you that I'd written my mom a letter back on Thanksgiving in 2004 that I held on to for a number of months before putting it on her door and giving it to her. And I haven't seen that letter since I put it on her door in like March of 2005. And so after I talked about it on the show yesterday, I texted her and it was like, hey, I'm going to be working on a project coming up. And I just told my coming out story, you know, and my parents are packing up their house because they're about to move. So I was like, if you come across the letter, please let me know. And she texted me back in just a few minutes. And she was like, what are the odds that I just came across this letter?
So you have it.
I have it. And she sent me like photos. I always remembered it as being 4 pages. Maybe I was being dramatic and an Aaliyah fan.
What was it? One paragraph?
It was right. It was actually 2 sentences.
I'm gay.
It was 3 pages. And I read it for the first time yesterday. And
how did that feel?
It was wild. I felt reading it back. I felt like, wow, this was way more grown up than I remembered feeling in the moment.
Well, when you were explaining it to me, it sounded very grown up.
Yeah.
For the age that you were when you wrote it.
Yeah, I was 18-ish years old, and I was just really taken aback reading my own words like at 19. And so I said, one of the things in the letter, it says, so now that I have shared this with you, I ask that you don't be angry with me, nor try to change me with your words, for I have spent so many years trying to change myself to be what I know you would have wanted for me and from me. Please don't hold my heart against me, but love me unconditionally with yours as God has with us.
That is an Aaliyah song.
It is a bit of a song.
It's beautiful.
But yeah, it was a trip just kind of like sitting there. I was in a meeting when my mom texted me the photos and I was like, I need to pause for a moment.
Yeah,
so
I need to pause
this.
And read. Yeah, I mean, reading old diaries and old journal entries and even old poems and songs that I've written, they're all awful. So you are doing a great job. But I mean, even just what you read me, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, it was really wild to read that letter after sharing that story with you all yesterday. So.
Well, thank you for the update there, Jared.
Yeah.
All right. I will now share my coming out story, which begins and ends with a men's suit. Now, this begins, I'm going to be as brief as I can. I'm going to have to skip ahead a little bit here. But to start it all off, when I was 8 years old, I was saving up. I saved up every penny of my allowance to buy a man's suit. That was the one thing I wanted to own. I thought they looked so sleek, so cool. I was saving up every penny that I had to buy a suit. Every time we went to a department store, I would go straight to the men's section and I would pick out different colors, different ties, and I would try them on. And my mom loved shopping, so I was in stores a lot. Finally, one day, I saved up enough money to actually buy one, because they can be expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I picked out the color. I believe it was maroon and black. I was feeling amazing about it. I was in the dressing room, and I was looking in the mirror, and I was like, this is the one. Mom, this is the one I'm going to buy. And my mom said, Allison, if you buy that suit and wear it, everyone is going to think you're a lesbian. And I was like, what? Like, I had never heard that word before.
I was going to say, did you have that language?
I didn't even know what that meant. But all of a sudden, my excitement over owning this thing was completely like, boop. Like, I was like, okay, so what I'm doing is not right.
Interesting.
So that was that. Fast forward to many years later, I was in seventh grade. I got my first boyfriend. I had my first kiss, which I've told you about. It was during Can't Hardly Wait, the movie. It was awful.
How appropriate.
But my boyfriend at the time, his name was Ryan. He was a semi-decent boyfriend. We broke up. We moved on. That's going to be relevant later. Then I reached high school age and I met the beautiful Sean, and he was extremely attractive.
Yes, he is.
I was very aggressive with guys when I was younger because I learned later on it's because I didn't care. So I'd be like, hey, we're going out. And they'd be like, what? And then I would just be like, you're my boyfriend. Then I'd be like, we're broken up now.
You're like Rachel, my girlfriend from fifth grade that I've never saw again from that one day.
Who's now a lesbian.
Probably.
Yeah, right.
Who knows?
So anyway, I found Sean, and this guy was kind of basically bordering. He was transitioning from nerd into hot guy, so I thought it was a good investment for me. I ended
up see his future.
Yes, I and when you know over the course of dating him, I made him frost his tips like Mark McGrath.
Of course,
I made him nair his chest to be silky smooth. He was eventually the captain of the baseball team. Did a lot for this man.
You did a lot of you put a lot of work into him.
Yeah. And then I ruined it all by meeting Danielle, and I will pick up where I left off when we get back, so don't go anywhere.
Drop the subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q. Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
All right. We are sharing our coming out stories in preparation for National Coming Out Day on Friday. If you would like to come out on the air, please do. 833-77-CALL-Q. You can come out to us any time of the year, obviously, but this week especially, you can come out and we will support you. Because that's what we're about.
Yes.
We're giving everyone a voice, you included. I'm in the middle of my coming out story, which so far includes a suit, a very adorable guy named Sean with Mark McGrath hair.
Completely not ugly.
Completely not ugly. You've seen pictures of him. And in the movie Can't Hardly Wait, which is where I got my first kiss from a boy. Then, so I'm with Sean. He's a very nice guy. He's honestly still to date one of the nicest people I've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
Very attractive, very sweet family. He loves his mom, the whole nine yards. I'm with him for 6 months. And then I meet this girl named Danielle. She walks into my life and we become instant best friends. We become so close that we can't go one class without writing each other a note in Milky Pen or talking to each other on AIM when we get home.
Milky Pens.
Oh, yeah. We wrote Milky Pen notes like crazy. So we were doing that. And then eventually Sean confronted me about it. And he was very kind of upset, and he was like, I feel like you want to hang out with your friend more than you want to hang out with me.
You're like, you're right.
And yeah, inside I was going, you're right. And I was thinking, oh my God, I'm caught. Like, I kind of, like, my secret is out almost, you know?
Mm.
And so I had this feeling of like, oh Lord, what am I going to do? This guy's figuring me out. So I better just break up with him. So I broke up with him, and I was telling my mom about it later that evening. We were sitting on the couch and I was like, yeah, you know, we broke up. And she was asking why, and I didn't really have an answer. And she kind of looked at me and she was like, I think that it's because you're in love with your best friend.
Your mom said that?
Yeah. And I was like, no, I'm not. And she was like, yes, you are.
Your mom told you you
were
gay.
My mom came out for me. And I just looked at her and I started bursting out into tears and crying and getting very upset. And she was like, look, I love you no matter what. I love you for who you are. And she was like, the only thing for me is I don't want you to have a harder life because of this.
Yeah.
So it had already been something that she had been thinking about, obviously. And I think in a way, she was giving me back my suit.
Oh, she gave you your little suit.
Yeah, she was like, I'm sorry, and you be yourself, honey, kind
Did
of a thing.
Did you guys go buy a suit after that?
I had a bout in catering after that, so I
So you needed a suit.
So I needed a suit. But the point is, I decided, okay, from this point on, I'm just going to be honest about who I am. I decided to pursue Danielle. We ended up drinking a bunch of Bacardi 151 at her house one night and making out on her lawn for 45 minutes.
Oh.
It was awesome. The next day on AIM, I confessed my love to her. I said, I love you. I have loved you for a long time. I want to be with you.
How old are you?
This was, I think I was 17. she said, I want to be with you too, but I don't want to tell anybody, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, okay, that's fine. I don't care. We can be a secret. I just want to be with you. I don't care. Then the next day, completely ignored me and continued to completely ignore me. Then started hooking up with Ryan, the guy that I made out with in Can't Hardly Wait, the movie. Then she started totally slutting it up at school with all of these guys. Let a dude go to second base with her during French class.
Oh my God.
Then I found out about this. I was so upset because I felt completely betrayed by her. I told the entire school what happened to the point where the teachers found out. They called everybody in the French class in for questioning, and her and the guy got expelled from school.
My God, you really ruined everyone's lives with this coming out.
I really did. So I eventually realized through my mother that I was gay, and I never looked back, but I was very immature in the way that I handled it, in the sense that, you know, the first girl that broke my heart, I definitely came back with a vengeance, and it's definitely a story that people still talk about at my high school.
Did she turn out to be gay later?
I don't know.
It's so interesting that
you've seen her on Facebook, and I don't know what's going on. I don't think she's with women, though.
Okay, so we need to follow up on that.
To follow
either,
up with her?
We either need to talk to Danielle or to Sean.
Oh, well, I'm friends with Sean. I can reach out to him, no problem.
I feel like we should talk to the exes that we, like our pre-gay exes.
Oh, I am so down
later
for that.
Later on in the week, maybe.
I think that it makes me wish that we had cameras, because he is still very attractive.
Yes, he is. We should get him in the studio.
We should just get him here. We'll fly him down.
Very casting couchy. Just fly him right in and fly him right back out.
Exactly. Back out? Why?
Well,
just keep him here.
We've got more Drop the Subject coming up next.
Drop the Subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q. Drop the Subject, the new Channel Q.
So there's a lot happening today in the Supreme Court, and it's important that we get to talk about it. We're efforting, full disclosure, getting some experts in here to talk about it as well. But today at the Supreme Court is a pretty significant day for LGBT folks, LGBTQ plus folks. This is coming from out.com, and I feel like they explained it pretty well. It says, in case you don't know, the Supreme Court of the United States will hear oral arguments on three separate court cases today that involve anti-LGBTQ discrimination in the workplace and whether such discrimination is prohibited under existing federal law. What's important here is these various cases will have a major impact on what it looks like to be LGBTQ going forward here in the United States. It says, although about half of all LGBTQ people in the United States are protected from employee discrimination at the state level, no such protections exist at the federal level. Title VII of the 1964 Civil Rights Act expressly, quote, prohibits employment discrimination based on race, color, religion, sex, and national origin. And sex in this clause has long been understood to cover sexual orientation and gender identity. But the Trump administration has sought to ignore this, pushing to more narrowly define sex as binary, assigned at birth, and totally immutable.
So they're trying to say that sex means sexual orientation only and not gender?
Correct. They're trying to say sex means you are male or female. It does not touch sexual orientation and would not apply to transgender.
It's not
folks.
Your gender identity.
Correct.
It's just your assigned sex at birth.
Exactly. Yeah.
So if somebody, and I know there are several cases that they're hearing, but one of the more famous ones is, I believe, a trans woman came out and then was subsequently fired after she came out. And so they're hearing cases like that in order to determine whether to make this decision and protect these groups.
Yeah, so more from the out.com article explaining it. It says the three cases arriving on the Supreme Court's doorstep this October aim to reverse the Trump administration's course, establishing that existing federal protections against sex-based discrimination cover discrimination against LGBTQ people as well. There's one... case that is Zarda versus Altitude Express, which concerns a late skydiving instructor who was fired on account of being gay, while another case, which is Bostock versus Clayton County, concerns a municipal worker who experienced anti-gay discrimination while working in city government. The two cases have been consolidated into one single case that aims to determine whether Title VII's prohibitions around sex-based discrimination cover sexual orientation-based discrimination.
So they're hearing this case now, but they will not be voting on it for a while, right? This is just a day to hear all of the information, gather whatever they need, and then they don't make the decision for another few months. What is the timeline on this?
So you'll remember in June, I was joking around calling it Supreme Court season, like where all of the decisions tend to drop. So all of these hearings will happen, and we will hear the results of their findings, their rulings, if you will, in June. June is the time when all of those rulings come down together.
Got it. So it's next Supreme Court season
exactly.
that we're going to hear about this.
Exactly. Yeah, we'll find out what they've done today. The people that are in the room will get to hear how the hearings go, and hear how things are framed. And sometimes the most important thing that we hear in those is the questions that the justices ask, because that will tell you how they're looking at the cases,
right?
And whether or not they're considering one perspective or another. We won't really get any real perspective on, you know, what their rulings are going to be until June, though.
And, you know, this is a tricky situation because of the current Supreme Court. I mean, now we have Kavanaugh in there, and so it's not as open and shut as it probably was 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah. Lastly, the last case in here is Harris Funeral Homes versus the EEOC, which concerns a funeral home worker who was terminated for being trans. They hope to decide whether gender identity based discrimination is a form of sex based discrimination, which is
yes.
kind of to the question that you had earlier. So all of these things are happening today. We're going to be talking to someone from the ACLU in just a little bit after News It or Lose It, which is coming up next.
Drop the subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q. Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Drop the subject presents News It or Lose It.
That was pretty impressive.
Thank you.
I would say pretty good work, Opera Alley.
Yes, I've had lots of practice.
I see. Okay, so it's time for News It or Lose It. I've got 5 headlines, you've got 5 votes, and the people will get whatever you give them. Are you ready?
What a tease. I'm ready.
I know, right? Okay, so first up, Alessia Cara imitates 7 pop stars singing Billie Eilish's Bad Guy, and it's awesome.
Oh, okay. Wait, who is Alessia Cara? Is she Scars to Your Beautiful?
Yes.
Okay, sure.
One of my faves. Love that girl. Okay. Meatless Meat Backlash goes mainstream.
Yeah, but this is personal to me. I'm against Beyond Meat, but I also am for the stock prices of Beyond Meat. So
okay.
I must news it.
Okay. Next one is Love Eating Babies. Try Taco Bell.
Try Taco Bell.
See, you already jumped in.
So a BRC is not beans, rice,
you
and
don't
cheese?
Know.
It's babies,
you
rice, and
you don't know, but you've already said yes to it.
Yep.
Okay. Instagram is ditching one of its dreaded features, and I'm actually thrilled about it.
Dreaded features?
Yes.
Okay.
There you go. Okay, and then the dictionary.com word of the day is loading very slowly. It is expiate.
Lose it.
Oh, damn. I almost had a 5 for 5.
Almost.
Freaking lesbo. Okay.
That's what my mom said.
Exactly.
You can go back and listen to my coming out story on the podcast.
Alessia Cara imitates 7 pop stars singing Bad Guy. Meatless Meat Backlash goes mainstream. Do you love eating babies? Here's why you should try Taco Bell. And Instagram is ditching one of its most dreaded features. All those things coming up next.
Drop the subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q. Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
All right, Allie, I gave you all these headlines. You picked 4 out of the 5 because you're a bitch. And
all right. Well.
And it is time for us to get into the 4 stories that you newsed in News It or Lose It.
Drop the subject presents News It or Lose It.
Okay, so I know you're a huge Jimmy Fallon fan.
Oh,
I know that you really, really just like.
Why
love
did you
Jimmy
get
Fallon.
Me in without mentioning him?
So, this was last night on Jimmy Fallon, and Alessia Cara was on, and she was doing this game where they have you do impressions of other people doing different songs. I believe this was actually on Monday.
So it wasn't Soap Checkers?
Yeah, it was. I hate you. My favorite person to ever do this was Ariana Grande. She did an excellent impression. She's done it a couple times. Well, earlier this week, Alessia Cara was on, and she was doing Channel Q artist Billie Eilish.
She's doing all Channel Q artists?
It was a Channel Q edition.
Okay, now I like Jimmy Fallon.
And it was Billie Eilish's Bad Guy. She had to do 7 different impressions, and here's how they went. This first one is Lorde singing Bad Guy.
White shirt, now red, my bloody nose seeping. You're on your tippy toes creeping.
Pretty good.
Like Lorde impression? Not bad. So
I'm here for this. Alanis Morissette.
On both my knees, for you don't say thank you or please. I do what I want when I'm on to do my soul. So
here's Shakira. Now it's Nicki Minaj. Ariana Grande. Ariana, yeah.
Totally.
This is Cardi B.
Yeah.
Hey. And that's Billie Eilish at the end.
That's good.
It's really good.
My only note is that Alanis Morissette goes, and I didn't hear the meh.
Fair enough. I'll give you that.
So that was the only thing.
I will give you that one.
But all the other ones were solid.
Pretty legit.
Yeah.
Yeah. A good work from Alessia Cara. I love Alessia Cara. I haven't heard a lot of new stuff from her, but you know her from Scars, So You're Beautiful.
You said yesterday when you were telling your coming out story, it's not often that you really listen to every word of a song.
Yeah.
But one of those songs, her song was one that I was like in the car one day and I was like, holy crap, this song is so wonderful. I'm so glad that other girls are listening to it.
I was saying the same thing. I think I mentioned this before. I'm really grateful that my little 19-year-old sister
hears that song, right?
Has that kind of music to hear. Other songs you know her from are Stay. She has Here. The song with Logic, called 1-800-273-82255 about the suicide hotline. I just love Alessia Cara, and I thought that was really, really dope.
Yeah, and then there's Taylor Swift, who wrote Me.
How dare you? Taylor Swift did not deserve that from you.
I thought you were going to say she did not write that song.
Well, she also might not have. I don't know. I'm guessing she did, but
hey,
I don't
how
know.
Dare you? She didn't write that.
Meatless meat is becoming mainstream, and it's sparking a backlash. This headline comes from Vox.com. They're talking about how people are going mainstream with their hate of the meatless meat.
Going mainstream with backlash is definitely important.
Exactly. It says, call it the backlash against the fast rise of meatless meat. For instance, the CEO of Whole Foods and the CEO of Chipotle both criticized Beyond and Impossible products, calling them too highly processed. Food writer and former New York Times columnist Mark Bittman, who has long called on Americans to eat less meat, criticized the, quote, new higher tech vegan meats for not addressing resource use and hyper processing. That's actually been one of the major criticisms of the Beyond and the Impossibles, is that they're so processed that they can't have the nutrients.
All right. But I also did buy a couple of shares of Beyond Meat, so why don't we just move on? It's not that processed, all right? And it tastes delicious.
More of the criticism went on to say,
specifically Beyond Meat. I mean, Impossible, yes, okay. That meat is tons of chemicals.
On Bittman's website, he has also given plant-based meat some favorable coverage.
Okay, go on.
But recently wrote nostalgically that not so long ago, veggie burgers didn't masquerade as something they weren't.
Exactly.
Saying, meanwhile, numerous articles have questioned the health impacts of the products. It's going to be interesting to watch over the long term. Whenever something new like this gets introduced into the market, I always wonder what's going to happen in 5 years. You know what I mean? People have been consuming it copiously and tons of endless of Impossible burgers. What happens to the body when you've had that for so long?
Or they're just going to turn Beyond Meat burgers into vape liquid.
And ban it.
And ban it.
Drop the subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q. Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
All right, Allie, which one do you want to take first? Taco Bell or Instagram getting rid of something that most people hated?
I hope that the answer to the first one is influencers.
Definitely not. That's
okay.
Their business.
Oh, damn it. Okay. Yeah, I want to hear what it really is.
Okay. So Instagram has had this tab under your notifications bar where if you open up the app and you hit the little heart at the bottom right, there's two things there under activity. One is notifications for you. And the other one is called following, which is you can see where all of the people that you follow, they've liked this person's photo or they followed someone
or they commented.
Right. It's something that I hardly ever look at. And whenever I'm looking at it, it's because I accidentally swipe to it. Because it's like, why do I need all this information?
Why
do
I need to know so you're trying to track what the people that you follow are liking?
Well, you're not even tracking it yourself. It's just like a feed that populates. So it'd be like, Allie Johnson just liked Justin's photo. She commented on blank. And then it'd be, Emmy Q just, you know,
that is
shared this
stalker
post
stuff.
And followed that person. Jared Hill just did this. And it's like annoying. And I always think to myself, like, whenever I tap on something, I'm like, it's in a feed somewhere that I just like this photo. Like, I hate that.
Yeah.
I also hate it on Venmo. Like, I don't need to know who's sending money back and forth.
Is the strangest thing.
It's
like,
so
why
annoying.
Do I need to know that the person that I met, like, that I know from high school
spent $15
on the haircut emoji?
Exactly. I hate that.
Yeah. Or it's like steam dumpling.
Instagram has had this ever since it really started, and I didn't even notice this, but it's actually already gone.
Great.
So they started like phasing it out in August, and over the last week, over the next week, I should say, like it'll be completely gone. And it's funny because this article comes from Complex, and it's like you'll be hard pressed to find anyone who's going to be upset that this is gone.
Yeah, I don't think anybody but a person who is very, very lonely and needs to constantly be checking up and keeping tabs on everybody else but them.
It's so annoying. I had an ex who was upset with me because I liked his brother's photos more than I liked his.
See, that's what I mean. Is it makes you following that feed would make someone who's already a little bit crazy.
Exactly,
more
a little ticky
crazy.
Boom. Exactly. And I remember thinking, like, I don't control the algorithm. Like, his photos show up in my feed and yours didn't. I see you every day. You know what I mean? Like, I tell you I love you. Like, what? You're mad because I liked a photo? Like, it annoyed the hell out of me.
Right.
So, anyway, so that's disappearing and it's gone for most people already.
But you know what's coming soon?
I do not.
They're testing, I know this is scary, group stories. Group Instagram stories.
Look at you with the inside scoop on something I have no idea what you're talking about.
So they're going to take that away, whatever you just said, and then they're going to replace it with group Instagram stories.
Well, they're also launching a couple of new features, a camera-first messaging app called Threads that's coming out. It's a standalone app that's built off of the previously released Close Friends feature. You know, on your Insta stories, you can share with close friends. It says the standalone, that it's given its standalone nature, it shows that Instagram is well aware of the general public's aversion to overcomplicating the main app. They said that the part of the reason that they removed it was because they just wanted to make the app a little bit cleaner, a little bit more streamlined. I'm like, that's some BS. Like, y'all just know that people hate this stupid
thing. I know. So, I don't care about things being streamlined and clean.
I don't know. They're crazy.
There are things that are too clean. I'm like, there are not enough buttons here. Can someone explain to me how to do this?
Give me more buttons.
They're like, this thing's down, this thing's up, this thing's popped. I'm like, but I don't know where it all starts or goes away.
Yeah.
If it weren't for you telling me.
The Taco Bell love eating baby story is a winding road. I'm going to give you the highlights here, though.
Have an intro especially for this story.
Justin's excited because he pitched this story.
Okay.
And he was like, oh, I've got production for that. this story comes from The Takeout, and the headline says, love eating babies, try Taco Bell. So within the last week or so, there was this major protest at a Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez town hall where this woman was basically like railing against AOC's climate change bills.
The Green New Deal.
And this tweet comes from a reporter, I believe. It says, one of Ocasio-Cortez one of Ocasio-Cortez's constituents, Jesus, loses her mind over climate change during AOC's town hall and claims we only have a few months left. She says, quote, we got to start eating babies. We don't have enough time. We have to get rid of the babies. We need to eat the babies. And people were like, girl, what?
What? That is somebody who is sad that that feature on Instagram is gone.
She's really upset about the babies. So this starts like a Twitter storm around like hashtag eat the babies based on this woman. Well, the timing was
Where's
a little poor.
Where's that woman with the diva cup?
The timing was a little poor because this happened right before October 4th, which is National Taco Day.
Oh.
This is a big day for Taco Bell where they push tacos and they run ads on Twitter and all this different stuff.
You know what we should do? Push tacos.
We should push tacos.
There's
on National
not
Taco
enough
day.
Support.
So on National Taco Day, they're running all these ads on Twitter, but at the same time, hashtag eat the babies is trending along with National Taco Day. So people are getting online and they're like, why is eat the babies trending? And when you click on it, a Taco Bell ad comes up because of the way the algorithms work out.
Oh, that's great.
And so there's a Taco Bell ad that people are like tweeting like, I don't know. It says Taco Bell, y'all chose the wrong hashtag to promote under hashtag eat the children. It's like, no, that's not what they were doing.
Hashtag eat the children. It says, now we're going to toddlers.
Someone else tweets, leave it to Twitter to serve a Taco Bell ad in the middle of hashtag eat the babies. Is there something they're not telling us?
Right.
So what looked like Taco Bell making a bad choice was really just about some really weird timing and things happening at the same time.
Yeah. And got people thinking, does Taco Bell have some kind of a partnership with Planned Parenthood that we don't know about?
Oh no.
Sorry.
Allie, you know what? Get your stuff and get out of here.
Okay, I'm gonna go.
We're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we're gonna talk to someone from the ACLU about the protests happening right out in front of the Supreme Court and how it's gonna impact us going forward. That's next.
Drop the subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q. Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
So, Allie, a little bit earlier we talked about...
SCOTUS.
You just like saying SCOTUS because it sounds like something you shouldn't be able to say.
SCOTUS.
But outside at the Supreme Court today, there's, you know, some major demonstrations because this is actually a really significant day. Even though we won't get the results of what's happening today at the Supreme Court, what's happening today will have some long-lasting ramifications. And so we wanted to pull someone in from the ACLU, and we have on the phone Aditi Frutuola, who is going to kind of give us some perspective on what exactly is happening. Aditi, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Hello.
So, DC, can you kind of give us in layman's terms what exactly is happening at the, what are the cases that we're seeing today at the Supreme Court?
Absolutely, yes. So thank you so much for having me on.
Of course.
Essentially, what's happening today is we're seeing three cases in front of the Supreme Court that were consolidated for one oral argument. And the central question is whether Title VII, which is Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, and it prohibits discrimination on the basis of a couple of different categories in employment. And so on the basis of race, on the basis of religion, national origin, and on the basis of sex. So the question is whether that prohibition on the basis of sex includes gender identity and sexual orientation. So in front of the Supreme Court today, we have three cases. One is on behalf of a transgender woman, and two are on behalf of gay men who were all fired because of their gender identity or sexual orientation. The ACLU is handling two of these cases. The first is on behalf of a plaintiff named Amy Stevens. She worked as a funeral director at Harris Funeral Homes. She worked there for 6 years. She enjoyed working in funeral homes. She had worked in the funeral service for 20 years. And when she disclosed to her boss that she was transgender, she was fired 2 weeks later. And her boss didn't try to hide the ball. You know, when you're fired for being on the basis of religion or race, oftentimes they will say something like, you weren't a good fit, or, you know, you aren't doing a good job. But here, they didn't even try to say that. Her employer straight up said, the reason we're firing you is because you're transgender and because we believe that you're a man who's not acting like a man. And they felt okay to say that because their argument is that gender identity is not covered under Title VII, so they have the right to legally discriminate against a transgender person. And then the second case that the ACLU is handling is on behalf of a plaintiff named Don Zarda, who was a skydiving instructor at Altitude Express, which is on Long Island. And after a customer learned that Don was gay, Don told a customer, you know, don't worry that I'm holding you so tightly as we jump because I'm gay, and he was trying to make her feel more comfortable. But the customer then went to Don's employer and complained about him and said he needs to be fired because he's gay, and the employer fired him. And same argument was made that it's not, we did fire you for being gay. We're not going to obfuscate that. All we're saying is that it's completely legal to fire someone for being gay. So that's really the question in front of the court today, is whether Title VII covers sexual orientation and gender identity in a way that makes it illegal federally to fire someone for being LGBTQ.
And Jarrett, you might already know the answer to this, but just for my own personal purposes, do the plaintiffs in this case, do they make appearances in front of the Supreme Court? I understand that I know the skydiver has since passed, but is anybody else appearing in court?
Yeah, that's a great question. So unfortunately, Don Zarda has passed away, and his estate, which includes his partner and his sister, are continuing the case forward. And they don't have to appear in that. They won't be giving any testimony. At this stage at the Supreme Court, it's just a legal argument. So it's just the lawyers who are arguing about what the law says, because we already know all the facts. None of the facts are in dispute. We know exactly what happened and why it happened. Right now, what's at stake is just what the law says.
We're almost out of time, but last question for you here. This obviously has long-lasting ramifications after whatever decision is made. Do we have any indications of how we might expect this to swing? I know that the court is conservative. However, Chief Justice John Roberts has been kind of the pseudo swing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so here's our hope, I'll say. You know, we just really need one person to be on our side. And the argument that we are advancing is somewhat of a conservative legal theory, which is that it's called textualism, which means that you really just have to look at the letter of the law and you don't even have to do much interpretation. What we're saying is that when you discriminate against someone because of their sexual orientation or gender identity, that is necessarily because of sex. You don't even have to go further than what the law says, right? Mm. It's because of sex. If you fire someone because of their attraction to the same sex, that's because of sex.
Right.
If you fire someone because in your mind you think they changed sex, that's because of sex. So we're putting forth a really simple argument, which is just look at the text. There's really no way that you should even have to go beyond the text of Title VII.
And then we expect to hear about this in June.
That's right.
All right. Adisi Furtwängler,
that was very helpful.
You are fantastic. Thank you so much. We hope to have you on again soon to help us kind of understand these things. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Up next, happy endings.
Drop the subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q. Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Well, Allie.
Yes, I was fervently writing.
Your happy ending?
Yes, I was trying.
I see Justin's got
pencils
a board.
Pencils down.
I see Justin's got a board full of red ink. I guess it's time for happy endings. Allie, you've got such a smirk on your face. What's the deal?
I have reached out to my ex.
You just heard back from him?
And I just heard back from him. I messaged him. By the way, I messaged this guy in 2008, because you know when you look on your Facebook Messenger, you can see when you last messaged them. Look at my stupid last... Hey, I was hanging out with a friend this week from school, and he reminds me so much of you, and I wanted to see what you were up to. I was like, you remind me of my boyfriend in high school. He was so awesome. And then I was like, aw, I wish I still kept in contact with him. Anyway, I hope you are well. Just plugging away here in New York. I saw pictures of Tim and Danny Walsh. Tim got so big. Teehee. He never responded to that.
He was like, okay, weirdo. Thanks for that. Do you know how hot I am?
Yeah, he's like, I'm on Zeus. Have you heard? Okay. So then he said, I messaged him during the show. I said, hey, this is super random, but would you want to talk on the phone on my radio show? Blah, blah, blah. So he responded. He said, hey, you seem to have a lot of cool creative ventures going on at the moment. Smiley face. Which I don't know if that's positive or negative.
That seems good.
But it's a response.
What could be negative about that?
Well, I don't know. He didn't say, yes, I'm willing to talk on the phone on the radio show. He didn't say yes. He just said, it seems like you have cool creative adventures going on.
Okay.
So I will respond now, and we will see what's going on. Oh, he also thumbs upped my message to him.
Okay.
So this is all good. We probably will be able to talk to Sean.
By the end of the week, probably.
That would be great.
Okay.
Okay, now so, it's really time for happy endings.
So, Allie, what is your happy ending?
All right. Well, my happy ending is that, hey, you know what? Couples might have their problems. Sometimes one of the partners is depressed. That can be really tough. It can even lower your libido. But the happy ending here is, if I am ever feeling a lower libido, I can always go to my favorite site and see Jarrett and his new date getting down.
I'm like, where is this going? Right back in check. Well, it's funny. My happy ending kind of touches on the same thing.
Oh, really? Does it really touch on it?
Donald Trump may still be the president. The Supreme Court may be making decisions on whether or not we should have rights. But look at the bright side. I just realized I'm messaging with one of my favorite porn stars on Tinder, and yeah, we're in love. We're about to check off a newly added bucket list item.
Okay, you did say when the show began today that you had barely any communication with him yet.
Well,
so you said you're in love now?
We've been messaging during the show. Yeah, he just messaged me back right now. We're in love.
What did he say?
It's none of your business.
We're in love.
We're in love, Allie.
Did he say that he had
a lot of cool, creative adventures going.
All right, what's your happy ending, Ginger Justin?
Sure, Instagram may have removed the following tab, but at least we don't have to see Jarrett comment peach and eggplant emojis on his Instagram boyfriend's thirst trap photos.
How dare you?
This is all a roundup of Jarrett's social media and dating
activity. I did
that
like six times, and now I'm that guy? Like, come on.
Peach and eggplant emojis.
As a person who loves to cook, whenever I'm in the produce aisle, I see the eggplant and I'm like, that looks nothing like a
like
bee. To be clear,
I don't know. Have you seen those little tiny ones?
If it looks like an eggplant, something is wrong.
Please see a doctor.
Please ask your doctor if getting a new one is right for you.
And now the porn star unmatched you.
Oh.
See you tomorrow.
Bye.
On the next, drop the subject.
On the next show, we're hearing coming out stories all week to gear up for National Coming Out Day. And Ryan Mitchell from Let's Go There joins us to tell us how he broke down the closet door.
We'll also be talking to Dr. Robin DiAngelo about why white people get so uncomfortable when talking about racism.
Oh, well, that sounds like a nice topic. Just a nice, solid topic. Not more special than others. It's just equally special. I look forward to doing it. Not because I'm white and you're black. It's just,
Okay, white woman.
Drop the subject. 12 to 2 Pacific, 3 to 5 Eastern. On the new Channel Q.